How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Most people want to be big. I'm not talking about weight or dimension. We want to be big shots. We want to stand out in the crowd. We want to make our mark for the world to see. We would like to be famous. We would like some notoriety. But I'm reminded of two things. And I can't remember which president or whether it was Will Rogers who said this. But he said, God must love plain men because he made so many of them. Plain people. The little song I remember, we didn't get to sing it tonight because I couldn't remember the rest of the words, so I'd had you do this one. But it went like, I'd rather be a little man climbing up than a big man tumbling down. I'd rather be a little man climbing up than a big man tumbling down. It almost fits with something came down and something came up. Well, tonight I want to talk about the power of smallness. And at first I want to tell you the traps of trying to be big. Trying to be big, trying to outdo, trying to stand out. So let's look at the scriptures now. And the first trap is that trying to be big leads to artificiality. It incorporates a fake it till you make it idea. Even whether you never make it or not, you fake it all the way. And this is how Jesus described the Pharisees, because the Pharisees were that group of people who wanted to be the leaders, as you shall see, and the masters in a moment. But watch this. All their works they do to be seen of men. Now, there's the problem. When we try to be bigger than our britches, when we try to be something that we're not, we end up doing what we do for a false motivation. We do it to be seen of others in order to elicit from them praise or applause, and it's a trap. We become motivated artificially trying to please others. They do these things to be seen of men. The second, trying to be too big leads to the love of prominence. It's an addiction. And look at what the scripture says about these. They love the uppermost rooms at the feasts, and they want the best seats in the synagogues. They're not happy to sit in the crowd, sit in the audience. They want to be seated apart from the rest. They don't want to eat with us. They want some place of greater dignity, they suppose, than just being with us common people. A trap for trying to be too big is addiction to the love of prominence. And then it leads to the need of recognition. Look at what they said. They love to be greeted in the marketplace. And they like people to call them rabbi. This word rabbi simply means master. they learn to crave for recognition. If they don't get recognition, they can go into depression. If they don't get recognition, they get discouraged. If they don't get recognition, it's like they disintegrate. The reason for that is because those who try to be too big are creating like the foolish man and building their house upon a sand instead of a rock. And the artificiality, listen, people can spend an entire lifetime being phony, being artificial. They can have artificial conversations with their spouses. Never get down to real communication. They're afraid to let the real self be known because they don't want to be the real self. They want to be this bigger person. Trying to be better, bigger than anybody else. Now, Jesus responded to this. They want to be called master, but he said, do not be called master. Don't let anybody call you master. For one is your master, even Christ. And all of us, guess what? We're brethren. We are all equal. I personally think it's a tragedy and probably a leftover fragment from the Roman Church that even within evangelicalism, we have created hierarchies in the church. We have reversed things. Put pastors and elders up like they were above us, when in fact Jesus said they were our servants. Him that's chief among us shall be servant. I come to you tonight, not as a big shot that knows it all, but as a servant. I come here to serve you. It is my joy that one of the things I get to serve is the Word of God. But God wants to, we are all equal. There is no hierarchy in this room tonight. And if in fact you look across the room and look at other people with anyone else, with any element of scorn, with any element of disgust, with any element of anything except esteem for one another, then we're already off track. Because we are brethren. The person who wants to be too big wants to appear as flawless, as having no faults. So you'll never hear him confess his faults to you like we are supposed to do, because he's protecting this false imitated image, this artificiality that comes with trying to be big. And then it leads to internal deadness. Look at the scripture. Jesus said, "Woe unto you, Pharisees! You love the uppermost seats, and you like to be greeted in the marketplace." But watch this. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" Look at this, because that's what this is. It's a wearing of a mask. It's trying to be in bigger shoes than you really wear, standing taller than you really are. And he says, "Woe unto you." Now watch this. Here's the reason. "For you are as graves, which appear not, and men walk over them and are not aware of them." Inside is internal deadness. I think our compassion should go to this group of people. albeit that in order to minister to them, Jesus found it necessary to use shocking terms to wake them up out of their dream world. In one place, he called them snakes in the grass. And that certainly got their attention. But these are the things that happen. They are the traps from trying to be bigger. Now, the response to this, there's two things I want to cover. One is we need to accurately evaluate ourselves to see what we really are. And you'll find out that's pretty wonderful in and of itself without any necessity of artificial inflation. Let me say that again. When you find out who and what you really are, it is so wonderful that you will not need to create some artificial you that doesn't exist, because you really are a someone already. Now here's the problem. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. They're all boasting. Everybody, see, that's what happens. That goes with this trying to be bigger than we really are. We have to boast our way up there. We have to do self-promotion. You have to toot your own horn, so to speak. You carry on a campaign to make people think you are bigger, better than you are. Now, look at what the scripture warns us about. And Paul said, I say through the grace of God given to me, now watch this, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. This is what happens to someone trying to be bigger than they are and who doesn't understand the power of smallness. Now, the scripture says, be careful not to think yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly, do some serious thought according to what God hath dealt to you. Because what he has dealt to you is pretty wonderful. He has deposited great treasures in you. Again, at the discovery of this greatness of what you really are, there's no necessity for artificial inflation. So, do some sober thinking and be careful not to think more highly than we ought. Let another man's lips praise thee and not thine own mouth. Not thine own mouth. A stranger, not your own lips. Don't go blowing your horn. You don't need to do that. Now, what is the option to trying to be the hero, the big man? And the answer is to understand the power of smallness. So in the closing moments, let's see if we can grasp this. Here's the scripture. Put not forth thyself. Especially in the presence of a king. Don't try to stand in the place of great men. Don't covet to circulate among those that are called the elite. For better it is that if they say to you, come up, come with me, then after you showed up there, then that thou shouldst be put lower in the presence of these whom thine eyes have seen. It is better to be small and ask to come to a higher position than to worm your way in to the high position and be ignored or sent away or disregarded. It's better. Well, let's see this. Now, in the choosing of a king, we have this passage where Samuel is looking for, so Samuel is looking to anoint a new king over Israel, and he looked on Eliab, and this guy was really something to behold. He was a more than six-footer. And he said to himself, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. This is the guy. Look at him. Wow. But the Lord said to Samuel, now watch this, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord doesn't see the way man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So here was Eliab dressed in his Armanis, standing at full height, waiting for somebody to come because he thought he was king stuff. And all the outward appearances, he had it. He had broad shoulders, brawny chest, bronze skin, curly black hair. I don't mean to excite you ladies, but he was really something to behold. And you'd think, well, hey, this guy can lead. He can be our king. But the Lord said, disregard what he looks like, because that's not what really counts. The Lord looks on the heart. And so who did the Lord come up with? And he came up with David, a shepherd boy out in the field with the smelly sheep. Nothing more, nothing less. He was not in town in a business. He was not the president of a corporation. He wasn't even a vice president. He wasn't even on staff of anything. He was just looking after his father's stinky, smelly sheep. And that was the chosen one. And David said, I am small. Because the God is not looking for big stuffed shirts. You'll be surprised to find that he's looking for smallness. And I'm going to show you why in just a moment. So David said, I am small. I don't forget your precepts. Jesus didn't come with a backup band and a parade of angels 1,000 miles long to keep the crowd excited. He didn't have slick promotionals and video clips. He didn't have a celestial loudspeaker announcing his arrival. He came as a babe. In fact, the writer said, he has no form nor comeliness. If you were to look at him, there was nothing above the rest of us. There was no attraction external. And look at this. And when we shall see him, look at this. There's no beauty that would make us desire him. And yet all those who want to be bigger than we are try to reverse the picture. We do the surgeries. We do everything we can to enhance the appearance of our greatness. But Jesus didn't do that. In fact, it said he was despised. People looked at him, yeah. You might be here tonight. And inside you, maybe you looked in the mirror and you don't like what you see. Or maybe you were wishing you were somebody else or had certain features that you don't have. And tonight I come to tell you that God is looking for your smallness anyhow. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Look at this. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Huh. We would never have expected him to be the Savior of the world. He came in smallness. Moses said to God, look at this question. Who am I? I mean, the implication of it, who am I? I mean, God said, I want you to get all the Hebrew people out of the land of Egypt. I want you to rescue them all. A million of them. Buried in the middle of Egypt. Controlled by Egyptians. And Moses saw how small he was. Who am I to do this? David said to Saul, what is my life or my father's family? Like, we are nothing. We are nobodies. That I should be son-in-law to the king. And then David went in and sat before the Lord. And look what he said to the Lord. Who am I, O Lord? And what is my house? Like, I don't have, I don't have a heritage that, you know, there's no kings in my background. There are no business people in my background. We're just sheep herders. There was a day when my interest in searching out my own family tree, which my father did most of the work on, and I still have all his records. We went back in the family tree, I think, as far as we go back, was about 180 years. As far as we could trace. And I was only interested if there was somebody back there who was really something so I could lay claim to it. And I happened to have a great-great-great-great-grandfather who worked in Wilhelm's castle in Germany. And I thought, well, isn't that great? I got somebody back there. It was really something. Maybe I'll be okay. The truth is, there's nothing in my background that would set me apart from anybody else. We're no heroes. Just a whole lot of small people. And that's what David was saying here. God, I can't believe that you're using me. I can't believe you brought me this way, because who am I? And look at my household. There's nobody back there. What? How come I'm here? The answer is because David knew how small he was. Watch. So David continues, who am I? Let me just back up here. Now we're going on to Solomon now. Who am I? Who is able to build God a house? Seeing, now can you imagine, we're going to build a house for God. Seeing the heaven of heavens of and heaven of heavens cannot contain him. Well, what's this idea of having a place for God when the whole universe cannot contain him? Who am I? Watch this now. who am I that I should build a house, even if it's only to burn sacrifices before him? Who am I to do this job? I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody, I'm unskilled. Gideon could hardly talk. Moses had a stutter. But they knew what they were, and they weren't trying to be bigger than they really were. Oh, let me look at the clock. I'm going to skip through this part. But let me go to the end of it. This is to David after he's bringing his offering. Look what he says again. Who am I? And what is this people that we should be able to offer these monies to this building for you? So let me talk to you now in closing about the power of smallness. Why is it so powerful? Now let's go quickly to the story of Saul. And look what God says. It repents me. I wish I hadn't done it. That I wish I hadn't set Saul up to be king. For he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And look at this. When Samuel finds out that God felt this way, it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night long, because he's going to see Saul the next day. And God says to Saul, to Samuel, I am sorry that I ever made Saul king. And so the next day, after crying all night to the Lord, Samuel goes to talk to Saul, and this is what he says. He says to Saul, if you'll stay with me for a moment, I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. And Saul said to him, go ahead, tell me what the Lord says. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, that's when you were made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. When you were little in your own sight. Let's look on. Here's why. In the New Testament, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God chose the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Now here's the reason there is so much power in smallness. Certainly, if you were choosing somebody, you wouldn't choose somebody foolish. You would find the smartest man, the most educated man you can. But that's not what God chooses. He chose the weak. Look at this. He has chosen the weak things. That's not the way most of us would do it. We want to choose the strong. And God, we wouldn't choose the base things and the despised things. I mean, they need to have some popularity if they're going to do it. But these are the things that God has chosen. He chooses the things which are not, which are nothing, to bring to nothing the things that are. And here's the reason that no flesh should glory in his presence. And let me see if I can get you to the bottom line right now. The person who realizes how small they are leaves a whole lot of room for God. The person who thinks they've got it all, know it all, hasn't got room for God. Too full of himself. Too much ego. And so the joyful news tonight, beloved, is that God really loves small people. It's the kind he uses. So you don't have to climb and clamor, scratch and claw, pull strings, push buttons, manipulate to get up. Because if you're small, there's room for God. And promotion comes not from the east or west or from the south, but it comes from the Lord. And He lifts you up. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The power of smallness is your usability before God. The men of the Bible, who we term as great men, were all men who said, "Who am I?" They were men who knew they were small, not trying to be big shots, because they cancel the power of God. So that's the kind that God uses. And here's Jonathan with his armor bearer going across the field. There's a whole bunch of enemies. And he says to the armor bearer, the armor bearer says to him, "Hey, let's get out of here." He says, "No. Let you and I go and take on the 300 men. Two guys against 300. Was this because he had a big ego? No. Here's the answer. Because he said, "There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." God doesn't need 300 to take on this 300. We can take on 300 ourselves if God will use us to save. You know, one of the big secrets is learning godliness with contentment. Outside these walls, the business world, the social world, is trying to teach us to climb and manipulate and aggressively pursue ourselves to the top of the pile. But in here, God is saying, "I love you, plain small people, because you're the kind of people who've got room for me. And you, plus me," God says, "can conquer." What do I want you to get tonight? I want you to leave here tonight being grateful that you don't have to enter the race out there to, quote, strive and succeed. For it is God that lifteth a man up and puts another down. And He can save by few. He takes the things that are not, the nobodies. He takes the weak and the despised. He takes the foolish. So stop doing the self-promotion thing, and you don't have to. Because what you are, what I am just a small person. It's enough, because you plus God are a lot greater than those who are trying to be so big that God can't use it.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.